Welcome to Super Tatis for Parshas Naso. I have a couple of stories to begin with this week. The first story is about Rav Aryeh Levin, and the way that the story goes is that he attended the levaya of a particularly righteous individual, and at that levaya, he was really, really distraught to see that what he previously had known to be the best friend of this individual did a very, very strange thing. He went and he stopped in the middle of the procession as they were being malav of the mace, and he just, it looked like he took a break. And even stranger that he seemed to have taken a break, but he took a break and went into a flower store, and it appeared that if he bought a big clay flower pot. So on its face, it appeared as if he, he just stopped in the middle of everything he was doing and decided to go run an errand, which seems off for lack of better terms, it seems very off for a person attending a levaya, especially when it's a levaya of somebody who appears to be significant to you in your life. So interestingly, he had the opportunity to speak with the friend later, and he didn't want to get too intense on him, but he said, I don't understand. This was like your best friend on planet Earth. Like, the two of you have known each other for all these decades. What is the big idea of stopping in the middle of levaya and go running an errand? So the man responded in a way that changed Aryeh Levin's life. He said, look, I have a friend who's been ill with a terrible contagious illness for many, many years. And the order from the doctors was that they needed to burn his tefillin that he put on every day, because he put them on, but obviously they're infected, so they couldn't be given to somebody. So I negotiated with them, and I finally got them to agree that if I would dispose by burying the tefillin in the ground before noon today, then they would permit me to take the tefillin and be able to take the responsibility for disposing them. So that's what I did. So I knew that to be able to dispose of them properly in the burial, I would need, they wanted them sealed up, so I would need something which was a kli cheres. So that's what I did. I went to go buy the biggest kli cheres I could find that I knew would fit it in, and go appropriately attend to that kavura. So obviously this was a giant mistake on Rabbi Levin's part, and he redoubled his efforts after that to try to be don the kafschus for people, because maybe there could be a plausible explanation, especially for somebody who generally was an upstanding person. There's a second story that was told by Rav Shvadron about Rav Elia Lapian that went to go visit a gvir, and this gvir was obviously very, very well off, hence the title. But unfortunately, he wasn't as generous. He wasn't generous commensurate to his wealth. And this experience was the same, meaning Rav Lapian was not able to explain to him, was not able to really motivate him to give according to the appropriate level, okay? And the man explained, he said, look, when I was young, they told me that if you are very generous with your tzedakah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will make you wealthy in the zechus of that tzedakah. But I didn't listen to Zeta, and I didn't give tzedakah. And now, look at me. I think I was right, because look, I have all this wealth. And if I had given it all away, it wouldn't be there for me to be able to give other people. So said Rav Elia Lapian back in a mushal. He said, look, think of it like this. There are two people. There's one person with two choices ahead of him. He could, for his parnasa. One is to be a simple blacksmith, and the other one is to work in metallurgy. Okay, like, gold forging or something like that. After going back and forth, he said, you know what, I am going to be a blacksmith. Even though the person who worked in the gold forging can get a lot more profits, I'm going to take this route. I'm going to take this easier route. So he says, look, after a while, the man all of a sudden got pretty Gaivotic, and he said, look, how correct was I? This is amazing. I've done so well. I have all this wealth. And you could see with your own eyes that I'm A-okay. But the truth is, I can see that nobody came into the shop to ask for anybody to do anything with gold. So clearly my choice of this path was the proper way. And had I decided to work in the precious metals or something like that, I could have died of starvation. And Rav Lapian says back to the Gviri, he says, look, just like this fool, right? Your words are really the same. You chose a path. And you're trying to bring a raya from your hatzlacha. You're trying to prove, due to your success, that the other way wasn't correct. But if you were involved in stucca and chesed when you were young, you just wonder how much more you could have had. Okay. Es kol asher yaaseh lahem va'avadu. Chaf dalet chavav. So, everything yaaseh lahem that they're going to do to them, va'avadu, and they will serve. Says the Divrei Shmuel, from Slonim, the following beautiful chassidish word. He said, look, a person who has all the troubles in the world is not able to pater themselves from Avodas Hashem. They can't exempt themselves. That's kol asher yaaseh lahem. Whatever is done to you, you still need to be an Avodas Hashem. Kol, everything that was done in every place that you go, in every situation that you exist, there is always an opportunity for you to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. Very nice. Next on to the Nesiim. There's a lot of seeming repetition here. It's just a Nasi, and this same Korban with all of its details brought over and over and over again, and the Korban and this and that. It's exhausting. Why is it so important? So the Altar of Kelm explains beautifully. The Torah wants to teach us that when many people do a mitzvah, in the Shamayim, it's not like one of many. Rather, they're so happy that meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Pamal Yishomayla are so happy that everybody is doing what they're doing. It's as if they're the only person in the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu's love and his pleasure and his delight and his happiness is in no way diminished by the work of others, right? A person who is corporeal can't really appreciate that because their love is finite. And when, all their kids bring him a glass of water that he need all at the same time, now he has 12 glasses of water, maybe that could be different, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. And since a Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, he loves us all like a Ben Yachid. And that's just a beautiful idea for us to think about the amount that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and the way he looks at the preciousness of our mitzvahs and our performance. Next, about the Nazir, a true favorite Ibn Ezra of mine, Ish o Isha ki Yafli. So it says Yafli. What is the word Mafli? Mafli, classic usage is that it is doing something extraordinary. Is that he's saying something. But obviously, a Pella is something that's extraordinary. And the Ibn Ezra grabs the second idea and he says, what does it mean, ki yafli? He's doing something that's a Pella, a wonder. Why? I'm going to say the words in Hebrew because you need to hear them. Ki rova olam holchim achar tavosam. The majority of the world follows its desires, its base desires. V'hu porish mitayvos. And this person, this Nazir, is separating themselves from those desires. Zehu achin pela godol. This is a big, big pela. Next is a beautiful piece from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. It says in Vav Ches about the Nazir, Kol yimei nizro kodesh hu la'Hashem, all the days of their nazirus, they're holy to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it seems like there's a real steer here. Because according to the Balaturim, saying why they shouldn't become tamei, it sounds like this nazir is gonna, you know, they could get hashras ashchina, right? And you don't want it to say that he's dorish ala mason. So meaning to say, a nazir could get to the hashras ashchina at the highest heights very, very quickly. But at the same time, we see that a korban is brought, that is Shetzira Satsumu Mina Yayin, quoting Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar. More on that later. So how do we resolve that stiro? On the one hand, you're getting to such kedusha. On the other hand, now you need a kapara. So he says it's very simple. It's the koach of a kabbalah. When somebody accepts something, it changes the status, right? It changes the status of what it is. You break a chain and create a new chain, a ruchnias chain. Right, somebody who doesn't drink wine because of a Kabbalah to do that, they can get to very high levels. But somebody who just doesn't drink wine because they're not drinking wine, well, there was an opportunity to use that wine, so that makes you a chayta. So the same thing with a tainus. Somebody who just skips lunch, well, that's just skipping lunch. But somebody who says, I'm a Kabbalah tainus, that changes a lot. So that's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's approach, is the value of a Kabbalah. Now, obviously, we need to be very concerned, very thoughtful about the way that we use Kabbalos, but nevertheless, they are very helpful and available at our disposal. Next, an interesting Sam Sofer says, by Birkas Kohanim, Kotev Arhu, this is how you're going to say the bracha, and it says, Emor Lahem, say to them. So what is the reason why we have this repetition? So he explains. The Kohanim don't need to give a specific language for a bracha. They just need to say things which are going to be inspirational to bring them to Avodas Hashem, and that's the bracha. But the Kohen himself says, Yivarech Hashem, so they're going to say things which are going to be heard. So this can also explain later why it says Veshamu Shmiel Bnei Yisrael of Yaniyavarchem. Says you put my name on the people and I'll give them a bracha. That means the Kohanim need to act in a way that's going to be Makadishim Shamayim through them, and they're going to call out their Hashem's name, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to give them a bracha. Okay, I'll end off with a thinking question. We've kind of hinted to this. By the Nazir, it says that if the Nazir becomes Tamei, he is going to, it says, Meshasher Chata, it says that he did an Avera, and Rabbi Eliezer HaKapar says, Shetzir Es Asmo Min HaYayin, kept him away from, he afflicted himself from wine. However, there's two Shilas here. How could he say that? If Rashi said that elsewhere in Pasuk Beis, Rashi says, why is the Parsha of Nazir next to Sota? To tell you that anybody who sees a Sota, Bekil Kula, should go and be a Nazir. Why would that tell us to, you know, to do it if it wasn't a laudatory practice? So it sounds like there's a stira. And second, it also says in Pasuk Hey that a Nazir is called Kadosh. So how could it be that this Maisa is going to be considered later as a chait if it is initially called Kadosh? Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful Shabbos.